Hi, and welcome back to Your Best Friends Podcast. I am your host and best friend, Aurora, and I'd like to introduce you to your new best friend, Chloe.
Hi, I'm Chloe,
and I'm so happy to be here.
I know, and Rex is also here, my dog, and he is very aggressively licking his toy that I put peanut butter all over, so just so everyone knows that is what that.
And he's so our best friend.
I know, he just wanted to be in here so bad. Well, welcome. I'm so excited to have you on. We were just kind of talking about this, but I was thinking about this earlier, how weird it is to meet people where you feel like you've known them because you followed them on social media.
Totally.
So anyway, I'm excited to actually officially meet you. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I have a company selling my art. I work for Tessa Barton under all of her brands, like all her Tessa brands, and Lolo the label, her sunglasses brand. And I also am almost done with a holistic nutrition school.
That's amazing. Yeah. So I want to talk, we're kind of going to go through all of it.
Sure.
But I want to start with art.
Awesome.
Because that is how, well, I think I started following you because you're friends with Gabrielle.
Yes.
And she posted love about her. You enough times that I was like, I got to see what the hype is.
I owe Gabby.
And I know, she's the best. And then I actually ended up commissioning an art piece from you.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. We don't have those dogs anymore. But that's okay.
I think that's why I drew them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Aw.
So,
hey, he can lick my toes.
So, yeah, and I've just been following you ever since, but have you, I don't know, tell me, like, how you got into art. I mean, I guess that's kind of a weird.
It's such a broad, it sounds so
right,
funny.
It's so broad. It's like, how'd you get into art? And it's like, well, when I was two, my mom gave me some crayons and some paper. And
totally.
Here we are.
I would say my mom is really artistic, and so is my dad, actually. And so my mom was a scrapbooker when I was younger, and so I kind of grew up obsessed with like scrapbooking and like those cheesy little fonts.
Yeah.
And as I got older, I actually wasn't that into drawing. I was really more into calligraphy.
Okay.
And so I would always do that and kind of did like a lot of calligraphy in high school over art and thought my handwriting was my strength.
Right.
But I kind of started to doodle and I thought they were so lame, but enough people told me they were cute that someone told me or asked me if I would draw their family like 7 years ago. And that was before I had like an iPad or technology or any skills. So it did not look great, but I did it and they paid for it and they apparently liked it. And so people started coming from that. Like they referred me to other people and I started to get more orders on accident. And so I started an Etsy.
Yeah.
I changed my Instagram account from Calligraphy by Chloe to Chloe Hearts Art. And
which is honestly iconic. Like,
thank you.
It's such a, I love when artists like have kind of a creative spin to their Instagram name. Or like, cause I think about like nail techs and they're all like nails by whoever, but then every once in a while you get one that has like some creative play on words and you're like, you're so smart.
It's
so that's how I feel about Chloe Hart's
art.
Thank
you. And I'm actually changing the name in like,
you're like, so I'm glad you love
it,
but
I actually hate it. No, I'm just kidding. I actually am like rebranding everything in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And so I don't know when this comes out, but I'll just tell you guys anyway. It's going to be called Sobriquet, which means nickname in French.
So cute.
Yeah. So it's kind of like an older, like more personal, still personal.
Right.
Take on Chloe Hart's art.
Okay. That's so cute.
Yeah. Thank
I
you.
Love
I'm
that.
I'm so excited.
So, okay. So I'm going to like kind of branch off. Tell me about your rebrand. Like what you're like. Are you transitioning the kind of art that you're making?
Okay, so I'm kind of transitioning everything. I've loved how my art has evolved with me as my taste has evolved. But I felt like I never did official branding. You know, I just kind of, like, I have good taste and I'm good at design. But I just, like, kind of grabbed a random font.
Yeah.
And just, like, threw it on there that I liked and then just, like, change it every once in a while. And as someone who's, like, worked places that are so professional and, like, treat my clients as professional, I'm like, why am I not treating myself like a business? I don't love the name anymore. I think I just grew out of it.
Yeah.
And so I decided to like hire someone to officially redesign it. And I wanted my name to feel as expensive and like high quality as the art I create.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I did it. And yeah, it's been so fun. And I can't wait to start over.
Go lay down. Okay, yes. So I love that though, because I think such, first of all, I think that we do undersell and undervalue ourselves, like,
oh, big time.
As I don't even know. I want to say boss babe, like, as a joke, of, like, female entrepreneur, CEO.
Creative.
Like, right. And I think we really undersell ourselves. Like, I saw someone recently who, like, I love and follow, refer to themselves as a CEO. And I know that they don't have, like, any other employees under them. Uh-huh. And I kind of was like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
And then for a second, hey,
shh. Oh, he's totally fine.
I was like, you know what, though? Like, actually, I love that. Yeah. I love... Because you are, like, you, I mean, I'm registered as a business.
Technically.
I'm paying taxes. Yeah. Like, I'm the CEO of me, myself, and I. Yeah, so I love that. And I also love how you were saying that you want to create a brand that represents, like, how high-end your art is. Because I think, I don't know if this is just, like, a me problem, like, growing up. Poor. But I've always felt like I have to price myself and my services like super low because of how I was raised, like how, like, and I also can't fathom charging that much for myself, right?
It's painful.
It's so painful. Like, I type out a large amount of money and I'm like, oh God, but I know I deserve it.
Totally.
But also part of me's like,
and when you undercharge, calm it's down. Painful.
It's so painful.
Yeah.
So I love that you have intentionally, like, rebranded and recreated this brand.
Thank you.
Like, to show how high-end you really are. You're kind of rebranding. You also have a newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to hear about why you started it, like, how the newsletter came to be.
Thank you for asking. It's, like, my favorite thing that I do. So, I think it was in March of 2020. It was, like, it must have been May because we were well into quarantine.
We were in the pandemic.
Yeah, we knew what was happening. I had started to see a lot of people in, like, the creative fashion world do it. And then I had one friend that was kind of doing it for, like, spirituality and wellness. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be a thing. And I really miss having my own personal blog, but
right. That
just isn't happening anymore. That was, like, 5 years ago.
Right,
I was
right.
like, I just want to express myself again on a different platform that isn't Instagram and so, or tweets. So I decided, I'm like, I think this is going to be a thing. I should try to be one of the first ones to do it and, like, just see how it goes. Nothing's on the line, you know?
Right,
I didn't
right.
lose any money to start it. It does take a lot of time, but we weren't really doing anything. And so I just started it. I can't remember how long it took me to actually start it from when I came up with the idea. I think it was, like, 2 days, just did it on a whim. And I just wanted it to be, like, a happiness newsletter.
Right.
I spell happiness like H-A-P-P-Y, ness, like, really cheesy.
Right.
And I just wanted to be able to talk about pretty much everything.
Right.
It's pretty about me.
Right.
It started out as, like, pretty surface level, and then it quickly got really personal.
Right, yeah.
Because I cannot overshare. Like, I cannot resist oversharing.
Literally me. I have my personal Instagram account, and I'm always like, I am having 7 mental breakdowns today. And 100%. I'm like, why did I feel the need to tell anyone this?
It's but, so funny. I think it's good, though.
Maybe sometimes.
Sometimes you have to have your boundaries. Yeah, I've definitely had some crazy personal, like, DMs and things because I've opened myself up.
Right.
I only have 5,000 followers, so obviously it's not bad. But, yeah, I love getting personal in the newsletter. I think I try really hard, but I don't put pressure on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably why it's the most successful thing I do.
Well, and that makes sense that
you,
because I love your newsletter. And so, oh yes.
Thank you so much.
I wouldn't have brought it up if I didn't read it. No, I love your newsletter.
It's crazy.
It's truly, and I'm not just saying this to gas you up. It's truly, like, the only newsletter that I actually am, like, subscribed to because I meant to subscribe to it. And also, like, I genuinely enjoy getting it in my inbox. I'll sometimes see it and I'll be like, I need to wait until I'm not as busy to read this. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So I truly love your newsletter. But I love that. You can really tell that it's, like, it feels like you're just talking to a friend, like, in your newsletter.
Oh my gosh.
And that's what I feel like makes it so much fun to read because I feel like we're just chatting and you're like, hey, I listened to some great songs recently and this is what I've been doing and I hope you have a great week. And like, it just feels like I'm chatting with a friend. And so I love it.
Your best friend, even.
Yeah, my very best friend. So how have you kept the momentum, though? Mm. Because as we all know, you start something and it's really exciting and new and shiny, and then it becomes not so new and shiny, but you're committed to it now. So yeah. How have you kept that momentum over the last like year and a half?
It's first of all, thank you so much. You're that welcome. Is exactly what I try to do. And sometimes I have no idea if it's working. So that
it's working.
Means so much to me. It's so hard, especially when it's personal, because you kind of have to like muster up the energy to do it. And sometimes I want the moment to be right. And
yeah.
I want to be in the best mood, like
right,
have a
right.
cup of coffee in my hand. Like, but the reality is sometimes I'm writing it Sunday night at 11
right.
p.m. And so to combat that, I try to like sometimes batch write ahead of time.
Okay.
Well, you know, when you're like on a walk or you're doing something and you're like, so many things are coming to
right,
you.
And you have your notes app out and you're just writing a bunch of shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Literally, my notes app is
my
mess.
My notes app is crazy.
I have literally, I was scrolling through just a minute ago to look at the notes that I wrote for this. And I just saw nothing else, just says Moderna MILF. And I was like, I don't know what I was going
to
do with this. But like, it was really important at the time, like that I wrote down Moderna MILF. Like,
that's so funny.
Like, I don't.
That's important.
Right. It's very important. And I'm never going
to
delete it.
I found like a note the other day that was like, I was writing it to a DJ because it was like so loud and it was like, please play Chance the Rapper like 4 years ago, and it was still in my notes. So
I
notes
love that.
Is the best. But
notes, they are.
Yeah, I try to like batch write ahead of time, or even if I just think of a subject, I'm like, write about this, and then it'll make it a little bit easier when
right.
I sit down to write
right.
it. And I have missed like 2 weeks total. And so I like my pride kind of doesn't want me to miss another
right.
week.
That's how I feel about everything.
Right? That's kind of good.
I'm like, it would be so embarrassing. People probably won't
notice,
but it'll be so embarrassing for me
yeah.
and my pride if I don't like release a podcast episode every week.
Yeah, I have both podcasts. That would be even harder.
It's stressful, but also it's like, it's weird because podcasting is like, yes, it's not the most stressful, but it does take the most time commitment to create content consistently, if that makes sense. Like, and it feels very different than like shooting photos for Instagram,
totally.
Like TikTok videos. Like, it feels more intentional.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I totally get that. Like,
you want to be in the right mood.
Yes. Yes.
And you have like, sometimes you're doing it with other people too, which
yes.
affects it so much.
Right. Well, and that's one of the hardest parts about it is like the podcast kind of went through like a weird time and it went from me being like, I have to have a guest every single week because I should not have let this get to me, but I got a podcast review that like, I try not to read them ever. Even if I see that there's a new one that's good, I'm like, well, I can't do it. I'm like, I'll just read that one.
Either
that's
way,
great.
Can't
no, but I got one that was like, it was like, Aurora, you need to shut up. You don't know that much about anything. And I was like, okay, I will never talk about anything ever again without a guest.
Only guests.
I was like, okay, only, and like for a few months I only had guests because I was like, maybe everyone hates me.
Yeah.
Which now I'm like, now I say it all the time on the podcast, I'm like, I'll apologize and I'll be like, no, I'm not sorry, this is my podcast.
No,
I'll talk about whatever the hell I
yeah,
want.
They can turn it off.
Exactly. Like, if you don't vibe, then you don't,
it's
vibe,
a reflection,
and
of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it's still not fun.
Yeah.
You can know that, and it
right.
still sucks to read.
Yeah. Kind of backtrack and talk about the brands that you manage.
Sure.
Because I'd love to hear kind of how you've transitioned your career into that. And also, like, I don't know, you can tell us about, I mean, if you want to, like the clients that you work for.
Oh, sure.
And like, I don't know, how you manage.
Yes. So I don't have any clients anymore because I just took a full-time job, but I was freelance for a year. And I will say I owe it all to my previous job as Studio McGee.
Right.
I was there for, I think, 3.5 years, and I loved it so much. I had the best experience. And so it was really nice when I wanted to take a break and focus on my art, but still needed to make some more income. I was able to have so many connections from my previous job. So that was really nice. So that's kind of how I acquired clients. I just kind of put the word out there. I got some from word of mouth, It was pretty effortless, which is really, really, really nice.
Right.
I feel really blessed that I got to be selective and didn't have to do any work I didn't have to do. And it was really fun. It's a little exhausting to think about like 4 or 5 different brands all at the same time.
Right.
And just like keep everybody's branding and voice in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also really fun.
Yeah.
So I would just kind of set aside time every day, like spending 1 hour with this, doing this, 2 hours doing this, and just like kind of adjust. And it was a great way to live life.
Right.
I loved like batching my time like that. And it was pretty, when you're a contract worker, your clients will be flexible with you too.
Yeah.
And it was so fun for anyone that wants to do it. It was really, really nice.
So what made you decide to stop freelancing and take on like a full-time job? Because I feel like a lot of people in the creative industry, when you're a freelancer, feel like you can't go back,
like you're giving
quote unquote
up.
Like you're going
or,
back right
what's the phrase, like
you're like reverting.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're going back to the man.
Right, exactly. And so it's like, and I know that you're still working in the same like field and you're working at home and you're working for a creative.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel as much like that. But how did you decide to make that decision?
Totally. That's such a great question because I never thought I would take a job again.
Right.
It was so funny in like, I think it was in November, December, but honestly, it could have been January. I don't really remember. I had worked with Tezza in the past and had such a great experience. And she put out that she was hiring for a community manager. And for some reason, I just had like the strongest ping that I should apply. And like, I was told by a boyfriend and my mom, and they're like, really? Like, I thought you didn't want a job again. And I was like, I just have a feeling that I should apply.
Right.
And so I applied. And then like, as time went back, time went on, I mean, I was like, no, you don't want a full-time job. But then when I got the interview, I interviewed with them and it went so well. And they're just so amazing. I was like, I would be so bummed if I didn't get to do this. So I started the job and I've only been doing it for like a month and a half, but I am obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And it's literally made me like more on my toes and more creative and helped with my art so
really?
Much. Yeah.
So do you do any art for them?
I'll like throw in some just like to embellish something, which is what I did at Studio McGee too. Like we'd use my illustrations for fun, but I did more marketing work, which is why it's so easy to separate the two.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And also every job I get is like another degree from college, like getting to learn from how someone successful does it.
Yeah.
I am like, I cannot believe that I've gotten to work for so many.
Right. Well, it's almost creatives. Like you get to be like have them as a mentor, but they're paying you.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did I end up here?
That's how I feel every day. I feel so lucky.
Well, I mean, I don't know everyone that you've worked with, but the people that I do know that you've worked with, I always, it's not like I'm surprised when I see that they're working with you, but it's always like this pleasant, like, oh, you know what I mean?
That's
like
so flattering.
Like when you, like every time I see you did art for What We Said podcast.
Oh my gosh.
I'm always like, yeah, the best. But I'm always like, I'm not surprised to see you doing their art, but I'm always like, like I know her, even though like I didn't.
You're like impressed.
Right. But like, it's like,
yeah,
like I know her.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So it's always like so fun to see like the people that you're working with and to see also to see like your art in action because it's all not different, but like because you have a very consistent style, but it's just fun to see the what's the word I'm looking for? Like the manifestation of it in different.
Yes. I know, clients. Like, because I would never, the What We Said looks like I drew it, but I wouldn't sell it as my own.
Exactly.
It's not
my brand. So it's fun to see your style in someone else's.
Like my take on their.
Yes. Like I'm trying to, I can't think of the right
no,
word.
I know what you mean.
But yeah, so it's so fun to see that. And yeah, it's just so cool to see you working with so many cool people.
It's so cool for me too. Like it blows my mind every time. I keep saying that's so cheesy, but. It's so exciting. Even when someone that isn't even like a business posts my art on their wall, on their page, I like still screenshot it and send it to my boyfriend. I'm like, oh my gosh, someone knows I exist. Like it's still so crazy to me.
I mean, I feel like I would do the same thing. Like if I had a physical product that someone could have. Like anytime I see merch for anything that I enjoy, I'm always like, oh my God, like even though it's not even my thing, but I'm always like,
someone else
out here loves the same things as me, like what a shocker.
I know, when the Armchair Expert like tour came to Salt Lake, it like sold out really quickly, and I was like, wow, I really thought
I was the only one. You were like, I was the first one, but yeah, I guess not.
I guess people caught on.
That's so funny.
It's so funny.
So talk to me a little bit about the holistic
nutrition
that you, so you're going to a course?
It's like a certification type deal. It's like you can do a year version or a 6 month version.
Okay.
And it's called IIN for anyone interested. And it's just like an integrative, holistic health coach type school.
Right.
And I have loved it so much. I'm not sure, since I'm so swamped right now, all the things I'll be able to do with it. But even if I just use it for myself and learning, I'll be so happy. But I'm doing it because I got so sick with so many like smaller autoimmune problems, like 3 or 4 years ago, after I had an eating disorder, I think because my gut was so messed up, and then I was so stressed, and so I was like so sick and just not myself for so long, and I finally figured out how to get better.
Right.
And I feel like everyone, all girls, like they say, always have stomach aches, and it's so true. And like I never have a stomach ache anymore, so I'm like, I want to help other people find peace.
Right.
But I'm not just gonna like start a course with nothing to back it up besides my personal experience.
One of my biggest pet peeves about, I was talking to my friend about this recently, about the abundance of courses that there are currently, and like I love it and I hate it, you know, because I love seeing the people that I look up to selling courses on things that I like really feel like they're an expert in.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I also see a lot of like really thrown together courses where people are like, oh, I know a few things about this.
Yeah.
Pay me $70. And you're like, well, you could have, you did Google all those things. Yeah. And then you just copy and pasted. And so, but no, I would love to hear a little bit more about, maybe not like specifics, but like what kind of changes did you start doing in your like diet and lifestyle, I guess,
yes.
like as you healed yourself?
Yes. There were two, I would say the two most important things were therapy. Like I know everyone's sick of hearing that, but it was really nice to kind of put words to like my problems, you know, like be able to be like, okay, I struggle specifically with these things, so I can work on them and be mindful of them. So therapy really helped me sort through all the fog and like narrow down what I was working on. And I've gone to so many therapists throughout the years, but I started with one I really like and have consistently been going with for like 2.5 years.
Okay.
So like I still go to her. I still have pretty much the same problems, but she's seen me like become a new person. So therapy really helped. And then I got my microbiome tested actually.
Okay.
And it's so funny because since I had an eating disorder, people are like, cut out gluten, cut out carbs. Like, I even went to a naturopath and they gave me like a, they looked at my body. They were so validating. They were like, oh my gosh, you are so unwell. Take all these vitamins. And I ended up taking a vitamin that had cauliflower in it. And as soon as I started taking the vitamins, I got so sick, like noticeably. And I was like, it's from the vitamins. But the doctor was like, no, it can't be. So I kept taking them. And then I just gave up eventually because I'm like, it's only making things worse. So I got my microbiome tested. And it told me like the foods that I wasn't digesting and what was making me sick. And cauliflower is the number one thing on there.
Really?
Yeah,
isn't that wild? Random, that's such a random food for that to be such an irritant. Because like I think of cauliflower as such like a neutral food.
That's
right?
Exactly like, why you never know.
Right, because it's like doesn't really have a lot of taste. Like I used to hate cauliflower.
Oh, it's now it's so good.
It's so good now. Yeah. I'm like, what the? Did my parents just not know how to cook?
Not a cook.
I know, because I'll like roast a cauliflower. I'm like, this is really good.
This is amazing.
I know.
It barely needs anything.
I know. That's so sad that you can't eat it.
I know. It's okay. I can't
I'm
now.
Sitting here like talking about how much I love cauliflower and you're like, thanks.
Good news. I healed my gut. So like I can pretty much eat anything now, but like cruciferous vegetables in general were making me really sick. Mm-hmm. Coffee was making me really sick and almonds. And as I further did like more testing, pretty much all nuts. I've had to cut out nuts, but I can eat like anything else. Like gluten doesn't make me sick. Dairy doesn't really make me sick if I choose high quality.
Right.
So that is why I'm really glad I did it, because I didn't just go down like the food obsessive route of assuming that you're allergic to all these things and just choosing higher quality versions of those things and not feeding my eating disorder and feeding.
Right.
Yeah. So I kind of that overnight after I followed those suggestions, I felt so much better.
Really?
My skin cleared up. I started to feel vibrant and energetic again. Mm-hmm. Switched to decaf for a second because I was not about to give up coffee.
Right, absolutely not.
No. And it was during the pandemic, so I was like, no, I'm going to, when like, I'm sitting
I
at home.
Do need this? Like, I what am this. I going to drink all day?
No, water? Why am I going to wake up?
Honestly, like, I wake up for, I mean, I wake up because my kids get in my bed. Yeah. But like, the thought of like sometimes I'll be getting ready for bed or I'll be like hanging out with my husband before bed. I'm like, I'm so excited to drink coffee tomorrow.
It's
like,
so funny.
It's so good. I have no complaints about coffee. No. I see no bad.
No.
Zero bad about coffee.
And if you start to feel crazy, just switch to decaf.
Right. Well, also, I have ADHD and so it really doesn't do a lot for me. So it really like
you wake up neurotic. You don't need the coffee.
Well, it just doesn't like the coffee doesn't like stimulate.
Yeah.
So like
that's
it's just the
too.
Same all day. But I'm also like, I'm gonna drink it. Yeah. Like it's funny to me because, so someone asked for I posted like what I usually get at Starbucks.
Oh,
on
sure.
My Instagram stories once, because someone was like, "What's your coffee order?" And I was like, "Cold brew." And then they messaged me later, and they were like, "Hey, I went and got." Like what you get, like a grande cold brew. She's like, and I'm like off the walls. Like I'm jittery. And I was like, what? I was like, I have never had that happen to me. Like I could drink a venti and like, I don't think I've ever been jittery from coffee. Like unless I were to like only consume coffee.
Sure.
Like
no food.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore.
No.
And so I was like, I think that's so weird that you felt that way. And then I was like, ah, it's the fun ADHD thing with coffee.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. And I didn't even know that was a thing until recently. Someone posted it on TikTok and, you know, obviously that's
obviously
true.
Obviously so true.
but then I looked into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's actually like a really common thing. Apparently
no way.
That like stimulants don't work.
Stimulate because you're already stimulated.
Right, right. I guess.
Interesting.
No, I don't feel
stimulated
in the slightest. But yeah, it just doesn't have the same.
Yeah, I could have it before bed. Whenever friends are like, me and my boyfriend love our second cup. Like we're like, especially on the weekends, we're like, mm-hmm. if we go to brunch, we're like, should we have our second cup now or should we wait till 2?
Yes.
And we're like, we plan out and people are like, I could never have coffee after the morning. And we're like, we can do it before bed.
I
no
know,
problem.
Like, right. Like I usually have my second cup of coffee like 2, 3 o'clock.
2 and 3.
Right.
Best.
Like I hit that like slump.
Yeah.
Like I finished working for the day because I work in the mornings usually.
Smart.
And then I'm hanging out with my kids and I'm like, I could just have yourself. A cup of coffee. And go make myself a little latte, and it's so good. It's like the best, but also like it doesn't affect me at all. Like I could
I go
drink
to bed
coffee right
fine.
Before bed. It's fine. Literally has no effect over
me
my
too.
Sleep at all. I love that.
I'm pretty sure I have ADHD too, which I know everybody thinks they do, but my sisters have been fully diagnosed. So.
Yeah, so have my sisters.
Really?
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's like I guess it's a family.
Love that.
Family thing for some of us. My parents don't believe in ADHD, though.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Right. Same thing. My mom's going to listen to this, but I told her the other day. I'm like, I think I have ADHD. And she's like, okay, well, also, like, social media. And I'm like, no, Mom, I have ADHD, please.
My mom was always like, people always think kids have ADHD because they have energy, but all kids have energy. And I'm like, there is a difference. Like, my kids have energy, but, like, ADHD
it's
kids
different.
Are different. And also, like, some ADHD isn't really, like, energetic.
Manifested in.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
especially with girls.
Oh my
gosh. Yay.
Oh, I love that.
Besties.
I know, seriously. Okay. Okay, so I want to hear a little bit about like your course more specifically. I know I got
oh,
on
sure.
the
Oh yeah, and
tangent.
I barely answered.
No. But I want to hear like what kind of like you've told us a little bit about like why you're doing it and like how it helped you, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about like what like I know that you haven't you're not ready to sell the course to my listeners.
Oh, you're fine.
But, like, what kind of stuff are you planning on including and, like, talking about? And I also guess segue to what would your suggestion be to someone who is, like, struggling with their gut health?
Sure.
Or, like, they think that's what the issue is.
Yes. I mean, it can help. Gut health relates back to so many things. It's honestly such a great place to start. It, like, helped me with my hormones, my skin, my energy. Okay, wait, let's start with the first question.
Okay.
The course. I feel like a lot of the reason I was so stressed is because I was blessed enough to have, like, a full-time corporate job. Mm-hmm. It wasn't corporate. It was really creative and awesome.
Right.
But anyways, like, a full-time job right. of somewhere that's, like, really successful. I didn't really learn. I went from, like, half-assing it in college and living at home to, like, having a really important job. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to take care of myself. And so I just let myself get really stressed.
Right.
And I've, like, started to learn how I've made things stressful when they don't need to be. Mm-hmm. And I let that get so out of hand that I was always on edge. And I run on being on edge. Like, I'm pretty much always on edge.
Yeah.
That's why coffee, I, like, feel like I've had coffee as soon as I wake up in the morning. Like, I wake up anxious and on edge.
Yes.
So I, like, just, like, having a stressful job, it honestly didn't even need to be stressful. It was just stressful because I made it stressful.
Right.
Just working was, I wasn't taking care of myself. And so in my course, I thought it would be cool to talk to girls that also are in this stage of life in their 20s or in their 30s where they have a job, they're single, they're just trying to figure it all out and, like, enjoy their daily lives.
Right.
And peace, and just have peace with their bodies and peace in their routines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peace in their routines is probably, like, the best way I'd wrap it up, because I think you don't have to be doing something insane or incredible to just, like, fall in love with life.
Right. Well,
so
I
cheesy.
No, but honestly, I know that it is so cheesy, but I really love the focus on social media lately of, like, romanticizing your life.
100%.
Because honestly, yes, like, romanticizing the little things that you do, like, it's so easy to get annoyed by the little things in your life or, like, inconveniences.
Mm-hmm.
But when you, like, kind of slow down and look at it through, like, I don't know, I always try to, like, especially with my kids, when they're just being crazy and off the walls, I honestly look at it and I'm like, okay, I'm going to look at this through the lens of someone else posting their kids on social media.
Oh,
like,
sure.
On Instagram stories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't see most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, their kids and be like, they are out of control.
Monsters.
Right. And I'm like, okay, so if I look at it from, like, one of my favorite moms, like, now I'm appreciating. Like, I appreciate, like, I see that they appreciate their kids and they slow down and listen
sure.
and participate. And I'm like, okay, if I just slow down, like, wow, look at how cute and perfect my kids are. Where 5 minutes ago, I was pulling my hair out.
Totally.
And I'll probably pull my hair out again in 5 minutes. But
for
right
sure.
now, I'm romanticizing being a stay-at-home mom.
And next time, it'll be like 10 minutes longer instead of
exactly.
five.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I really love that trend of just, like, romanticizing and glorifying, like, all of this little things you do every day and just really, like, having intention.
Yes.
Like, the intention is so important. And I think, especially when we're working not even mindless jobs, but, like, really, like, mentally taxing jobs.
Yes.
Like, you have to be there physically. You have to, I don't know, listen to people. It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, answer emails.
I was having a job, like, for 3 years. But I think especially when you are in that kind of mindset and phase,
yeah,
you really do, like, just get so stuck.
Yeah.
And you aren't doing anything for any reason other than survival.
Yeah.
And it's
exactly.
like, you deserve to survive, but also you deserve to, like, enjoy and thrive.
100%. And I see people all the time that just write off their jobs as if they suck. And I don't know their stories.
Right.
So maybe I'll
Some
just
jobs
go back
really
to me.
Suck.
I'll write things off that they suck, and then I'll go back and look and realize that it really has nothing to do with the thing there.
Right.
And I'm sure people might listen and be like, well, she's only had, like, amazing jobs. So, like, maybe I'm not the best person to say this, but if I have a hard time just, like, being alive and working to survive,
mm-hmm.
people that have jobs they hate,
right.
I would like for them to be able to just enjoy waking up to.
Right, right. Even if they have to go to the job they hate.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I totally get that. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking. Oh, where can everybody find you on social media, the internet, subscribe to your newsletter, all of the things?
So nice. Thank you for having me. I'm shocked and starstruck to be here. my website, or let's start with my personal Instagram because my website's about to change. So on my personal Instagram, it's CHLOBRUD, Clobrud. And I have like a link tree with my website, my newsletter sign up, and everything else. My art currently is Chloe Hart's art, but it's changing to Shop Sober K in a few weeks.
Also, I have to ask, okay, how do you say your last name?
Oh, great question. It's Bruderer.
Okay. Because I've actually like mentioned you on the podcast before, and I've said your name, and I'm like, it's...
Oh my gosh, wait, you have to tell me when that is. I can't believe I missed it.
I can't even remember. Like, I would have it was like in passing. I was like, oh, she posted something or said something or whatever, and I was like trying to say your name, and I was like, this is so embarrassing that I have literally never... Because, like, you read somebody's name enough times that you're like, it's Chloe Brrr.
Yeah, yeah. My boyfriend thought my last name was Brud. Just Brud for so long. Just because of Instagram.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah,
makes
it's sense. Totally well, fine.
I'm relieved to know.
Yes. Bruder.
So that way I don't have to, like, guess. Yeah. Okay. So everyone, make sure you go follow Chloe and follow the podcast at Your Best Friends Podcast. And we love you. Good night.